February Black History Month, two of Roanoke's longtime cultural institutions are teaming up for the Granite Theater's 10th annual Black History Film Program. And this year includes a second location. Joining WFIR anchor, senior reporter Gene Moreno and me live in studio this morning, Ian Fortier with the Granite Theater Foundation. Joining us shortly will be E.B. Smith, executive director for the Harrison Museum of African American Culture, which has settled into its new home at Melrose Plaza, one of the anchors there. Ian, a good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
Morning.
Good to have you here. The 10th annual Black History Film Program, Ian, is coming to the Harrison Museum as well. Before we get to that.
Well, this is actually a question for
you. EB, so, yeah. Now, so Ian, if you would, talk about the kickoff gala for the film program and the showing of Within Our Gates.
So we wanted to do something special. We're incredibly excited that we started this series 10 years ago, and now this is one of the longest-running Black History Month film festivals that we have in Southwest Virginia and perhaps the Commonwealth. So we wanted to do something a little bit different than we normally do. So we said, let's get some people in the room. Let's put a red carpet down. Let's put it on the marquee and and sling a little bit of food and a little bit of drink. And it's going to be more than just a screening. We're having some catered food. We are going to dress the building up a little bit. And then we're also bringing in Amy Gerber-Stroh, who's the she's sort of the director of the film studies program at Hollins University.
Right.
She's kind of one of our local Michaud experts.
Okay, yeah. And isn't she a filmmaker herself?
She is a filmmaker as well, yeah. She did Hope of Escape last year.
Right.
Which was part of our film festival release that we did. And I think we had something like 240 people at that screening last year.
Wow. I remember it was up for some awards. The kickoff gala. It's a $25 ticket, and again, with all the trappings. After that, all the films in the series are free. Within Our Gates, a 1920 silent movie. Have you done Oscar Michaud before, who was a filmmaker in Roanoke for several years?
So I did Michaud in 2015 when we showed Body and Soul, and we haven't screened any of his work since, so we thought this was a really good opportunity. One of the challenges with screening Michaud in the past is that his works were disparate and scattered and difficult to get strong media on. And one of the things that was the impetus behind this idea was about a year ago, I was in the trades that I'm in for, you know, cinematic industry. And we received notice that Kino Lorber, which is a relatively smaller distributor, had remastered everything that was available for him. And it was all now high quality 4K available on Blu-ray and DVD. And, some of the silent films came with now music score tracks, like Within Our Gates will, when we show that on the 29th. So it was a lot more available and easy to choose what it is that we wanted to screen, and easy to open the conversation with EB about possibly having two different venues throughout the month.
Mm-hmm. And we'll talk to EB when he gets here. Body and Soul, February 3rd, that's Paul Robeson.
That's right.
You think of Old Man River.
That's right. It's Paul's sort of breakout role, if I'm not mistaken. That's the first time that he was seen on screen. So that's sort of Michaud discovered.
Yeah, and he was around for a while. And then God's Stepchildren and Swing. So
yeah.
And it looks like for some of these films that Oscar Michaud did delve into issues regarding race and
all the time.
Right.
And that's the thing about Michaud, that sort of, you know, there's two things, and EB can talk a little bit more about this as well, but there's kind of two things that really made Michaud distinctive. And one is that he was not addressing topical subject matter. I mean, he was really focusing on not only responses to some of the ways that the patriarchal majority of, you know, the filmmaking industry was casting the Black community, but he would then turn around and, you know, focus on a graduate from Harvard University, or he would focus on a businessman who was successful, people that were making very strong, very relevant, and very accurate contributions to the Black communities throughout the country. So his depictions were not only to refute the stereotypes, but also to show that this is the way that our communities actually function and operate, and they're very progressive and very thoughtful and very high functioning. And the other thing that we really liked about Michaud is that he sort of controlled his product from the first idea through distribution, which is something that I think most artists today would dream of doing. And Oscar, you know, from the insemination in his head to putting it on paper to the final bit of distributing it and selling it on screen, he controlled his whole artistic process and it did not allow it to be corrupted anyway along the way. So
right, which a lot of early movie makers, like for instance Charlie Chaplin, helped start United Artists. They, of course, he was white, but they realized early on that we better get some control of this as this industry burgeons, otherwise we're going to be left behind.
That's right. So I mean, I think that was one of the amazing things about Michaud, especially early on in the process.
We're talking with Ian Fortier from the Grandin Theater Foundation, and I just wanted to ask you about the Black History series. You've kind of covered the whole gamut. I mean, here you've got more serious topics with Dr. Michaud, but you've also done black exploitation films. So kind of the
we've done comedies, we've done black exploitation, we've done some of the institutional classics that American cinema is based on. We've touched superstars. We've done The Wiz. We've done Harlem Nights. We've featured documentaries as well. And in 10 years, and we do about 40, that's about 40 plus films that we've screened in the last 10 years, because we do about 4 to 5 a year. And again, like you had mentioned, this series outside of the kickoff gala, because of the additional, offerings, plus we wanted to kind of put value to that ticket. The three other films that we're offering are all free and underwritten, and all four that you'll see at the Harrison Museum for the month of May show this year are also all free. So this is, for the most part, a free series outside of one or two times in the last 10 years where we've had something super special,
right,
that you want to kind of put value on, or like, Amy's film that she just, contributed to the theater last year, that was a fundraiser. She did not ask for any proceeds for that. It was all, you can take my film and you can sell these tickets and you can keep the revenue to support the theater. So stuff like that, you take an opportunity to support your nonprofit.
So talk about the collaborating with Harrison. They're going to show four films as well.
That's
as
right.
You guys. How did that get cooked up?
So, we have, this is not a new relationship. We've, ever since I started this idea at the Grandin in 2015, I had reached out to Charles Price. And the Harrison Museum every year has helped support the underwriting and the licensing costs to make this a free series. I mean, without fail, Charles was there. And then, with EB's transition into that role, because Charles is retired.
Right.
Him and I met about a year ago at one of the ED roundtables. And just shortly after that, I think I had received the email from the dailies in Hollywood about Kino Lorber remastering the Michaud.
Right.
So this idea kind of kicked off in my head about a year ago. Like, oh, this could be Black History 10th anniversary. This is like kind of the stars align for a celebration of the series with that kind of anniversary year.
It's the Grandin Theater's 10th annual Black History Month film program for February 2026. And again, it's also going to be for some people, Ian, introducing themselves to Oscar Michaud, who had a studio here in Roanoke on Henry Street, I think,
right,
where the culinary complex is now.
Right down there, yeah. And so Michaud was not originally from Roanoke, but to my knowledge, we have some people in our community that are really, really strong and knowledgeable about Oscar. Amy Gerberstroh is one of them. Jordan Bell, who's doing all sorts of work
in Gainsboro, sure.
In the Gainsboro, in the the Henry Street project, and the education that he's bringing forward.
But Oscar Michaud was one of 13 kids. His father was a slave. Was born a slave.
Yeah,
enslaved. So he's got that in the back of his mind. I'm sure he heard stories from his father.
I'm sure that he had a bit of a chip on his shoulder, but he was also, I think, somebody who was remarkably intelligent for his, for his time. He wanted to, he was a businessman. He was an artist. He was working both sides of his brain, to my understanding. And, even though he did a lot of his films, most of his films, I believe, in the Southeast before he sort of moved out to Hollywood, a lot in Atlanta. I think he spent some time in Florida as well. But he was here for 4 or 5 years.
Right. So he actually made it out to Hollywood at one point. At the
yeah.
end.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I think he did directed 44 films.
Yeah.
But you look at his history, and he wasn't born a filmmaker. He kind of moved around a couple of places, worked some menial jobs and all that. But at some point, Michaud decided, like a lot of artists, he wanted to take control of what he was doing.
That's right. And I think that's... I think there's so much of that still relevant to anybody today. I mean, I think that's like evergreen. I don't think that the knowledge and the kind of empowerment that comes with taking over your own creative process and managing it in a way that creates great art and then gets distributed. I think that's probably one of my favorite parts of the story, but we're excited. You know, we know that there's a lot of people in our community who don't know who Oscar Micheaux is.
Right.
And so there's a great opportunity, I think, here for not only the entertainment and the presentation value, but also the education value. I mean, this is one of the people that spent a lot of time in Roanoke, or even a short time in Roanoke, but had tendrils that went far and long, and obviously still is incredibly influential in artists today.
Right. You don't think of Roanoke as being a filmmaking mecca, but 100 years ago, for a while, it was.
It was, yeah.
They used to call these race films.
Well, and the thing, one of the reasons why EB and I had kind of talked about it, and one of the reasons why we sort of each made our own list of what we wanted to screen, and the only one that was an overlap was Within Our Gates, which is what we're starting with.
Right.
And so we decided to put that one in the kickoff gala to bring the most attention to it, because that one is sort of Micheaux's direct refute to A Birth of a Nation.
Okay.
And it's an intentional response to the, I would say, the misdepiction, the inaccurate depictions of the black community at the time in America. So Micheaux specifically focused on that film to be that direct refute, and we thought that one had a lot of impact as a potential first educational film.
Well, it looks like Evie may not make it, or we'll get him when he gets here, and tape it. But at the Harris Museum, the first one, February 6th, it looks like it's a documentary.
This is the
superhero of black filmmaking.
So they're starting, instead of starting with an Oscar Micheaux film, they're starting with the documentary about Oscar Micheaux. And then I think their next three are all Micheaux films.
Right. Birthright, a black Harvard graduate confronts racism, 1938. So this is a talkie, and Micheaux evolved into talkie films.
Well, and ours will be that way. So we're starting with Within Our Gates, which is a silent film with a score attached to it, as well as the next one we're doing is Body and Soul, which is also a silent film that has Kino Lorber's score to it. And then our last two, because they were later in his career.
God's Stepchildren.
And Swing.
Yeah.
These are talkies.
Okay. You know, God's Stepchildren on February 10th at the Grandin, a light-skinned African-American woman struggles to find her place in both black and white worlds. That's a pretty heavy topic for a century ago.
Yeah, and I mean, that's, again, Micheaux. Micheaux was, he was tackling stuff that was relevant. It wasn't topical matter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it all felt like it had social consciousness and social relevance and purpose, and he was very intentional, and you could see it. You could see it in his body of work 100 years later.
Before we let you go, got a couple minutes here with Ian Fortier from the Grandin Theater, the 10th annual Black History Month film program for the month of February. Black History Month will be taking place at the Grandin Theater and also at the Harrison Museum of African American Culture. Talk about collaborating with Harrison on this. And is it, we've talked about this before, is it important for cultural organizations around here to collaborate? You know, we've seen recently where the Science Museum is going to be leaving Center and Square, but is it important for groups like Harrison and Grandin to collaborate, to support each other?
All the time. I think any arts organizations in any sector anywhere should be collaborative. And, you know, we meet as a sector, the executive directors and development directors and communications directors meet, you know, 8-10 times a year where we all sit in a room and we talk about what to do and how to work with each other. I think collaborations, they shouldn't be forced.
Right.
You know, I think they should have sustainability and sort of, you know, a heft to them that makes them make sense more than just a quick hit.
Otherwise, it's a lot of work for, yeah.
And this one is, you know, EB's done a really good job since, when you talk about the Science Museum leaving Center in the Square, I mean, the Harrison Museum also left Center in the Square to go to their new location at Melrose Plaza, which if you haven't been to, yeah, I highly recommend.
I've been. It's great, and
it's a much bigger space.
A lot of potential there.
Yeah, and it's a much bigger space. And, you know, but one of the things that EB and I talk about, and this is something that we kind of effectively work on, is, you know, when I go to have a meeting with him at 8:30 in the morning. If I'm at the theater, I leave at 8:25. They're five. We're 5 minutes apart.
Right, right.
You know, so there's this whole notion that it's not
right
easy to collaborate, but it's really it really
right.
is.
We're gonna have to leave it there. The Black History Month annual film program at the Grandin and the Harrison Museum. Check out the websites. And Ian, thanks for joining us today.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.